Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I'm excited because we're getting ready to deal into a topic that most artists want to know. Tonight we're going to be talking about the advantages and disadvantages of sampling. But before we get too deep into the topic, we always cover the show. So let's go ahead and cover the show. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to come together collectively as a community to express our thoughts about what impact this industry of music. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind that is tuned in and locked and loaded to Hip Hop National. As we go forward tonight, amen, in Jesus' name. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to put out a disclaimer, guys. Hip Hop National is a centralized location where music creativity can be expressed, supported, and promoted through a variety of platforms. We're here to help you learn what it is to protect and enhance the value of your music. We are not legal advisors. If you need legal advice, seek out an attorney. Tonight, we are talking about sampling, and we're going to share with you our thoughts and our knowledge about this topic. Tonight, I'll say this. A sample is a bit of sound, such as a drum, snare, a violin, a helicopter, a train, horn, or any other kind of sound that you can envision. There are samples, there are all type of samples. Today, producers frequently take odds and ends of different sounds, regularly incorporating them in their tunes, in tunes of the past, to develop another tune. Sampling probably came back when hip-hop first started out with DJs. They took sounds through an 808, and they blended these tracks to have an artist rap over it. So that's the opening spiel of it, and I'm going to get Raw Dog's thoughts as we go forward. Raw Dog, what's your thoughts?
You know, I think samples or sampling is the next best thing to the invention of peanut butter. It's just the way that is the progression of the ability and the new tools to create music, you know, rather than going out and purchasing a horn, you now can play a horn. I mean, you can purchase it. You know, there are two ways to look at this sampling, you know, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but they just put out a VST, which is a virtual synthesized instrument, samples of George Duke. Now, as a great, great musician, but George Duke put together a sample pack that he will live forever. His style, his intonation, they have chords, progressions, and the different keyboards that he might use, and it's incredible sound. You know, sampling, if you do it on the simple term of sampling, which is stealing, you know, and you'll find that a lot of equipment will only allow you to steal a sample and not purchase a sample by some of the great musicians. They're on the market, and they're so royalty free.
Question, Rodolph. Do you think sampling is illegal?
Oh, no.
So is it, I would say the answer to that question is yes and no.
When you mean old school sampling is illegal.
Okay. I would say that, yeah, that the answer to that question is definitely yes and no. If you have seeked out the permission of the publisher and the writer, or for the master use of the song, then you are by right to use the song. But if you're doing it, let's say, the old school, under the hat type of way of thinking that you're going to get away with it, you probably won't, nine times out of ten.
Yeah, because they go too far in what they take in the sample.
Now, that's a question. You think that if they take a little 2 or 3 seconds of a song, they're still not sampling a sound?
Okay, are you talking about
clearance?
The vocalist, or are you talking about the instrumentation?
The instrumentation. I'm talking about
sound. They're not doing wrong if they take 1 second to 2 seconds of instrumentation, because
that's
legal. Oh, sure. And I'll tell you
what. What book did you read that in?
Okay, and I'll tell you why. Okay,
uh-huh.
You're saying 1 second, 2 seconds, very uh-huh. very quick, very very quick. Are you stretching it?
Gotcha.
That same sound that was in that had 120 beats. You know, a cycle or a 90 cycle.
I'm not talking about you done stretched it and you done morphed it to a new sound.
No, not
I'm
more.
Talking about
there are guitar chords in songs that we said 1 second, 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
That's not 1, 2, 3, 4, the beat included. That's just
okay. Maybe
two notes in itself.
Well, let's say the question is it sampling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it is sampling.
I think it's a violation? No.
That's questionable, right?
It's not a violation.
It's not a violation.
No, because you can create the same notes on the synthesizer. Who's to say it came from the synthesizer or it came from 2 seconds? I said 2 seconds. Now, I want you to think how fast or look at a watch.
If it's recognizable, and that sucker, trust me, if it's recognizable, and that sucker
you can't recognize 2 seconds. You can't recognize 2 seconds.
I'll just let you know, if it's recognizable, it is sold.
You cannot recognize 2 seconds. I want you,
okay. First
of all, I want you to do this. 1, 2, boom.
Okay.
1, 2. 1, 2.
I got you.
Okay. That's not recognizable. 12 notes. How many millions of songs have used the same note?
I'm not saying that you can't get away with it, Rondo.
I'm not saying that you
won't get away with it, but to say in every case that you will, technically everything needs some sort of clearance.
Okay, and I understand it from your perspective. I really do. Let me say this, and there goes the different grades of equipment that you're using. See, there are inexpensive sample programs. There might not be enough manipulation within the program that you're using to sample from that you can manipulate and get 2 seconds and stretch or reverse. It's a strange electronic world out here now. And if I hadn't darn near lived in the pro audio section of music stores, I wouldn't know these things. I would think, the same way. You're just taking from someone else. But I've learned through the products that producers can own that it's, there are things that you're not aware of that have already been marketed by George Clinton, by George Duke, you know, by a lot of different artists. You know, L.A. Riots puts out what they call a sample pack, which is royalty free. You know, and these things can be purchased as tools in building a song. Now, if you're a producer, you pick up the melody of someone else's song just by listening. You know, and then you can go to the keyboard and you can actually finger it out. Well, okay, if you pick those same chords, not from that product, and you put them together, you've created something different. What if you had an acoustic guitar play the first chord, and then you had a jazz guitar play the second chord, and you had a vintage Strat play the third chord in that? You have created your own production, yet there are chord progressions that follow each other in songs that make them similar, but they're different. The industry is having a problem. There's a very thin line when it comes to producers. Now, I've heard DJs remix songs and put their name on it. Now, that, in a way, is stealing, because a lot of them just loop a portion of someone else's song. Now, that's a whole different process.
When you say you heard producers, what are you talking about? You're talking about established producers, or are you talking about producers?
No, I'm saying DJ.
Of this music,
I said DJ.
That you've heard.
Oh,
yeah,
DJ. Haven't you heard remixes of songs by different DJs, and it's someone else's song, but they remixed it?
They did a remix? But the question is, listen to me there. Now, my question is, if they're selling copies, that's one story. But if they're doing it for promotional purposes and they're not selling copies, don't get me wrong, the average publisher or writer is not going to invest the money in going in as a lawsuit against these people.
Well, yeah,
unless they done sold 10,000 copies plus and it's been recognized for doing
okay,
so.
But see, there's the catch to it. There's the catch. They're not going to tell on themselves. And how are they going to find out they've sold over 10,000 copies?
Okay, I'm just trying to tell you.
See, I understand the hustle. I understand, because I looked at it, and the beginning of anybody that gets into trying to produce music and what have you, we're thieves. We take songs that we're familiar with, and we've made the loop from that song. That's in the beginning. That's how you become familiar with your software.
You say we are thieves?
Oh, all of us. No. Listen to me. That's how you learn. That's not saying that we sold them, but that's saying that we took someone else's something and we started learning our skills. We learned the program. We learned the different plugins to the program. We learned all the nuances of our program, the time stretching, the reversing, the stutter, what filters we put on it that changed the loop and the sound and dropped out things that was in the original version, you know. And so we learn like that. It's just normal in most recording programs. They will allow you the loop to be able to loop something. So it's a discovery that is in the program. Now,
okay,
taking it to the marketplace is where the issue becomes, wow, the education starts. Because then that's when you run into the understanding of copyrights, and you understand the point of you cannot claim ownership of your remix or your looped production. But some young artists don't stop there, and I understand that. It's a good party song. They just claim a remix or they put it on a mixtape. You know, and I've heard a lot of that. I've heard a lot of it. And you know what? Some of them are even better than the original.
Let's see if we can engage some of our callers.
Oh, sure.
If you're listening in by computer or you're listening in by phone, please press the number 1-213-559-2995. Press number 1. That'll let us know that you want to be a part of tonight's discussion and that I'm not coming to you uninvited. So,
but can I make one statement
about this? Glenn, welcome to Hip Hop National. What's your thought?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hello, Glenn.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
What's your thoughts on tonight's topic, Glenn?
Well, I came to the show just a few minutes late, but I believe the topic is about sampling.
About what?
Oh, sampling?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
I thought you said family.
Yeah. poetic looking for a victim, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, I ain't the one poetic.
Tell him.
But here's my thoughts on sampling. Like all other parts of the music industry, was, you know, it's just another technique that was brought to the industry to pretty much bring back the old into the new. Now, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. The right way is to, if you use a sample, take the time to have the sample cleared. What most young artists and producers don't know is that it's not very expensive to clear a sample, firstly.
Now,
secondly,
now that question, if right where you're saying that right now, you said it's not very expensive. How about if you're a part of a major? Do they charge more, or do they charge less if you're running as an independent, or is it all the same?
No, an independent pays less for a sample than a major would, because
okay.
The people who own the masters realize that a independent doesn't have the money to put out there like a major, number one. Number two, they don't anticipate a independent being able to break a record as big as a major. So what they do is, based on the size of your label and if you have national distribution or regional distribution or worldwide distribution, then that number could change. And then, say, like if an independent cleared a sample, well, they may do a deal and say, okay, well, we'll give you this rate, and then anything over 10,000 copies sold, then we'll either renegotiate or we'll move to a higher rate. But in any event, if you're going to sample somebody's music, you should just do the right thing, have the sample cleared, and go ahead on and try to get you a hit record. Because I can tell you of one guy here in Detroit that had a super huge record where he used a Luther Vandross sample. The record was called Takes Money to Make Money. Record blew up all over the nation, but he didn't get the sample cleared. So the best that he could do was try to get the notoriety and the popularity from the airplay that he was receiving and use the record as a promotion, but they couldn't sell one copy. And I mean, the record was huge.
And it, and with that said, a record can be held up from further promotions. In fact, a cease and desist can be issued on from the publisher or the writer based on you not taking proper steps, correct?
Well, a cease and desist can be issued on any situation, but a person doesn't actually have to cease and desist if he's not trying to make money from the recording. So, you know, out of respect, you know, if a person serves you with a cease and desist, in most cases people cease and desist. But you have some artists who have deals with their labels that they can't have their music cleared for sampling.
You said
so,
they can't,
you know,
or they can't?
No, they can't. Like Frankie Beverly and Maze, you can't sample his music. Prince, you can't sample his catalog. So there's some artists that just won't clear your music. And then you have labels like Motown that make it so hard for you to clear a sample of a great Motown record that it ends up not being worth it because of, you know, they want full control of that copyright of that new recording, and they want a great big percentage of sales. But they really only do it so that you won't sample their music.
What's your thoughts, Rodolfo?
Well, I want to ask Glenn, you know about VST instruments now, right?
Yes.
Okay. They just put out a George Duke VST. And I see this is the way the music industry is going to be doing their stable of artists and making money still off of George Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's no duplicates to these guys. And so now you can buy these instruments that are royalty-free. And I see the industry going in that direction because there is a lack of a pool of up-and-coming musicians. It's not as many as it used to be.
Absolutely.
You know, and Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. The pool of musicians is very, very weak now compared to even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But the reason that, say, like a VST, a company will go in and pay the George Duke family or his company and say, well, okay, we'll pay you X amount of dollars to do a VST using some of George Duke's licks and techniques, and we want to put them into this program. And when they say royalty-free, what the general public doesn't understand is it's royalty-free as long as you don't try to transfer that music. So let's say you go into...
What do you mean transfer, Glenn? Can you be a little bit more clear with
it? Yeah, it's royalty-free to the person who purchases the VST. But if the person does a composition with that VST and tries to put it out into the public domain, well, then it's not royalty-free. It's only royalty-free for your use. See, that's what the general public doesn't know. Even with some of these sample CDs, they'll sell you a CD set at a music store. And when you read the fine print on the back of that CD, you're thinking that it's all royalty-free sounds. But if you take that and put it into a commercial product, well, then that whole thing changes.
Well, we got a caller just raised their hand, 774-371. Please state your name, where you're calling in from.
My name is Will Fox.
And say it again.
Real Fox.
Okay. Real Fox, do you have a statement or a question?
Well, I just was listening to when you guys were speaking about VSTs. A VST is a virtual instrument. Basically, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I know Steinberg usually do like older people and like make a name of an instrument, maybe like a bass sound or something. It might say like it's George Duke, you know what I mean? But it's just a virtual instrument. It's just like going to the music store and buying a keyboard, and you know how the keyboard has patches in it already preset. That's basically what a VST is. It's just a keyboard. It's just a virtual instrument. That's not an instrument that you used to play. And the reason why, like, musicians are not allowed anymore because the music that you're hearing now in our communities is not really music. It's not being played like how it was when I grew up, where you had instruments, a lot of instrumentation on your songs. Everything now is just really like a big bass kick drum and a snare and a couple of high-end, you know, strings or something. That's what the music platform is right now. So, I mean, who really wants to play that? But you're not going to have a lot of new musicians like it was in my day. But you come up playing, you know, songs, real music.
Okay.
So it's just totally different. The whole platform of music is different now. You got a lot of what they would consider now as beat makers. You know, they're not musicians. They just playing beat makers.
So is it fair to ask you this question here, that what you hear today, you said it's not real music. So you're questioning the producer's creativity, in a sense, correct?
I'm questioning the producer's creativity because most producers, well, I'm not going to quote say producers, because some producers, even back in the day, didn't actually play. They knew what they could hear. They knew what they wanted to hear.
Okay.
That's the job of a producer. But when you say a musician, in most compositions, you know, in the earlier days of music, there were musicians playing it. But now you got people that make beats that can't play no instruments. They just try to work a mouse.
Now, look, don't get me wrong, and this is not to rain on your parade here, but even though you question their creativity, you got a Puffy, you got Dre, you got Kanye West, who have been very successful at sampling other people's stuff.
Right.
Creatively.
Well, being creative, you know, using your creation does not make you a musician. That's what I was saying. You know,
not a musician, but it make you an industry entertainment professional.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm on the right page here.
Yeah. What's your thoughts, Glenn? I did a blog. Excuse me?
Hold on a second, Real Fox. What's your thoughts on that, Glenn?
My thoughts on it is this, and I realize, you know, Will Fox is a producer that I've been knowing for a lot of years, and
okay.
I understand where he's going and what he's talking about, but I'll say this. There are some people like a Kanye West who is a very creative person, and I don't think that you could compare him to a Puffy. Although Puffy has a place in this industry too, as we well know, he's made a lot of money.
Right.
But there is a creative way to sample. See, when I started I never used loops. What I did is what we call bit sampling, where we would take the kicks, the snares, because they were EQ'd a certain way, because at the time we couldn't afford to go in the studio and EQ stuff the way that the big boys did. Like, we have a world-renowned bass player that actually plays right now for Lady Gaga. And when he would come off of the road, he would bring us all of these different kits from these super huge artists. And what we would find is that, wow, how come our stuff don't sound like theirs? Well, because they have a programmer that'll go in the studio and stay 2 or 3 days just EQing their samples and their sounds. So everybody that samples doesn't sample in the same way. You got some people, as Raw Dog was saying, I used to tell my artists, look, if you bring me a loop and it's a hit, that's one thing. But if you bring me a record and it's got a loop in it, just because you want to put a loop in it, I'm not interested. Because, like Raw Dog was saying, you could bring a sample into your record, play around it, get the feel that you want, and then delete the sample if the record's a hit. Because if the record's a hit, it's a hit. And if it's not, it's not. So if you look, see, sampling really became popular because people wanted to put that the old sound of the wax back into the music. But now with VSTs and this stuff is so clean and so bright and so digitized that now they're taking even more of the creativity away, because when you sample in a computer, it's not the same as when you were sampling with an MPC-60 or SP-1200. Because you were forced to create. And see, now with the VSTs, well, you don't just have to, anybody can do a record. Now, whether it's good or not is another subject. But with that stuff, anybody could do a record. So I think we have to be careful when we say, the musicians of yesterday absolutely were better musicians than today. But they had to be. They had to be.
Well,
but
yeah,
if you
they
look
didn't
out
have, don't get me wrong, they didn't have the electronics, the technology that we have today. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you got to be really happy that they didn't, because they created some authentic good music that you can live by, that has life, shelf life. To the point that it's being resampled and resampled and resampled over because it was so good.
Well, they
But if we recognize that what they did was great work and we want to sample their work, then why shouldn't we be big enough to want to compensate these people for their work?
Oh, exactly.
No, I 100% believe that they should be compensated. Don't get me wrong. Am I a culprit of doing it? I really wasn't a producer, but I.
Yeah,
but
you
I
choke it up. You choke it. You get ready to tell a half story.
I was an executive producer of a song that we actually sampled, and we put it out there.
The whole song.
We put it out there to actually. Make a success with the song. But we didn't get the permission like we were supposed to. This is why this program exists, don't get me wrong, because of a lack of knowledge.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lack of knowledge, I started this program because of my lack of knowledge of doing something that I didn't want to see so many people coming up after me. Putting so much money behind a project only to let it sit on a shelf because you didn't seek the right permission to make it happen, or to be sued to your demise, to thinking you're going to be successful and just been shut down.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can give you an example right now, Poetic. The biggest record that I produced and put out into the marketplace was called How Low Can You Go. That was the biggest record that I produced myself. And I used a Chuck D sample in that record when he says, "How low can you go?" Now, I didn't get any flack from Def Jam or anybody else. I released this record in 1992. I didn't get any flack from no labels, none of the subsidiaries, no publishing company, nobody. And the record blew up. Record went to number 5 in Billboard. I got no flack, but now when I tried to upload this same record that I legally own, when I try to upload it to YouTube, they won't let me monetize it.
Oh,
right,
okay.
The computer caught up with it.
Because the computer caught up with it.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, can I ask you guys this? If you guys don't mind, I'm just going to go to, I'm talking about one commercial and I'm coming right back. All right? But
okay.
This is what I want you to chew on. I want to ask you the question, what are the legalities of violating a copyright and what could be the penalties as far as fees? We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hip Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Mean Girls.
Nah, 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 boo, boo, he chose the ugliest duckling over you. He stole your boyfriend.
Photoshop. Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's KAYO. Visit online at KOBlowKisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Cry Wolf, a Hip Hop National Radio exclusive.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, guys, and I'm just letting you guys know we are that centralized location where your music can be expressed, supported, and promoted. We're here to help you learn the knowledge to how to protect it and enhance it. We are not legal advisors. So I'm just letting you guys know if you need an attorney, seek out an attorney. Meanwhile, we're back to the topic, and just as we went to the break, I was asking what are the legalities of violation of a copyright and what kind of fees could you face? Glenn, I'm going to come to you. Your thoughts.
Who are you going
Glenn,
to?
Glenn, you there?
Okay. The copyright issue can vary, man. It can go all the way from a fine to going to jail, and most people don't know or realize that. Infringement usually ends in some kind of monetary award, but there is also plagiarism that you can be jailed for. You can be fined and jailed for. So, you know, that's why I'm telling these young artists that are listening that it's better to just do it the right way, and you really would be surprised at how cheap that you can clear a sample nowadays. I cleared a sample, a Denise Williams sample. I spoke with her personally on the phone. And got, you know, she liked the record, and she said, okay, no problem, send it to the label, and I'll tell them that I'm with it. And it cost me $200 out of pocket to clear that sample.
Now, can I ask you
now,
this?
I never did. Mm-hmm.
Because you are an industry associate, you got some kind of who's who in this business, some of that happening beneath your belt, does it make a difference on the negotiation of the track?
No. See, because the industry, see, what we need to understand about great records, well, a lot of great records are buried and have dirt on them. And when somebody can take one of those catalog records that they are not making money off of and resurrect that record, then usually the majors are all for that because they've already made the investment into that record, and anything that they get back now
is all to the good.
Okay.
So let's say you got a record that let's say it's a Nat King Cole record, on Capitol. And the only publishing that they've been receiving off that record is what the oldie stations pay to the publisher. Well, if somebody goes out, if Flair Kanye West goes out and he samples Nat King Cole, well, he could resurrect that record and potentially make that record start to generate proceeds again for that label.
Mm-hmm. I've always saw that as an advantage of the sampling, but a lot of people look at sampling as distasteful, even industry people. If you put this question out there among the masses, you're gonna get a serious debate about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but see, now Glenn just told you there's a right way, and that was a golden piece of information.
Oh yeah.
And I hope the young people take it in. There's a right way, and then there's the wrong way, and so. Knocking on that door and approaching them in a business fashion. And remember, we've always said that there's a cost to be in this industry. And if that's what you're going to do, then I like the way he said, approach them. They can only say no. But that,
yep.
Once they say that, you just turn around and go in another direction and do another production. Because if you're into the music and what have you, and that's your gift, that's only one song. So, you know, the thing about it is that the word sampling, I've heard it used negatively, and I'm glad that Glenn came on and he told the young artist, approach it in the proper way. Business is business. Respect is respect. You don't want to get something good and get it cut off from the world just because you didn't take the right steps. And, you know, the artist that you might be sampling might appreciate what you've done rather than looking at it in a negative point. Because, remember, an artist until they die is still an artist. Music is something that in this industry, if it's not something that was a gift from God, if it is a gift, it'll stay with you a lifetime. So, you know, they can appreciate the respect and that, hey, guess what? They're still relevant in this music industry. You know, you remember Kanye West had Chaka Khan in one of his songs. It seemed to revitalize Chaka Khan's relativity in this industry because she hadn't been heard from in anything new. Now she's singing, I haven't heard her bring out anything new, but now I've seen her on television and what have you, and she's revived her career in front of the young people. You know, so there's a right way, and there's a right way, and there's a right way. And you can't do it wrong. No, that's the truth.
Tape. Real Fox, I know you've been sitting off in the cut saying, man, I want to get in. When they going to let me in? Real Fox, you got the floor.
No,
what's your thoughts?
I'm just listening. I'm listening to what they're saying. I'm just taking in that, bro. You're never too old and never too young for knowledge.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, so
awesome.
I was just, yeah,
we
want to
make sure we don't overlook you. Don't want to make sure we don't overlook
no,
you.
No, I personally, I'm in a state right now where the thing of sampling to me is coming to like a thing of the past. It's only been one record that I can say right now that I distinctly remember this lately that had a sampling that was pretty big record. I think that was what's the guy named? What's the Marvin Gaye sample? I can't think of the guy. The guy's went through my head right now, but it's the Marvin Gaye sample.
The new.
Do you remember the name of the song? No. What's the Glenn? What's the name of the artist?
Oh, you're talking about the rapper from
New
York.
No, the white guy.
Robin
Thicke. That's not
Robin
a sample
Thicke,
in that
right?
Record.
That's
yeah,
what
but
I thought. It's not a sample, but it sounds like it, right?
Yeah, the issue with that recording is not sampling as much as it was infringing on the concept.
Okay, I
they just you. Yeah, they felt that the record was too close to Marvin's record in terms of concept.
Okay.
Yeah, because the sampling is not as prevalent as it was like 10 to 15 years ago, where like almost every record you heard was a sample or a chopped up sample or something of the sort. The records now are, like I said, they basically are southern. Most records have that have a certain sound to it. And I was just showing Glenn the other day where the rapper named Mano and the rapper named Jadakiss was saying, now New York is playing Atlanta's playlist, and that has never been heard of. Like they saying they don't understand what New York has become. They didn't settle to playing another state's playlist.
Mm.
And they were
well, not to change the subject or the topic, guys, but we have to face reality in this business. And the reality is that in the entire year of 2013, there was no black artist that had a number one record in the whole year 2013. And we have to look at what's going on. You look at Robin Thicke, he goes and get him a super huge record that was creative. Now, yeah, it had a Marvin Gaye feel. I grant you that. But there was a lot of creativity put into that production from Pharrell. And I'm saying that to say this. We are not creating anything anymore. We're going in, we're turning on the computer, and in 20 minutes, we think we got a record. That's what's going on, guys. And until that stops and people start understanding that this industry is about creativity and creative people. And we have to stop feeding into this dumbed-down system that these people are creating because guess what? We're coming in last now.
True.
In a business that we built.
All right, guys, I got Ed, one of my friends here, who I've also invited to the show. And he's, he wanted to participate in tonight's topic. He's got some experience in the industry, too, I'll let him tell you. Ed, welcome to Hip Hop National. And,
well, thanks, sir.
Where you calling in from, Ed?
Where am I calling from?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at Pompano.
Okay. And, Ed, what's your thoughts on tonight's topic? And then you can give us what you think about the advantages and disadvantages of sampling music.
Well, sampling music is a wonderful thing because me being an old musician, I grew up in a household that my mother says, everybody will play an instrument. There will be music here. So I started off playing the violin. And that gave me a love for classical. And then later on when I picked up the bass and started playing bass, it gave me a great love for country and rock and roll. Even hip-hop, swing music, everything. There's something good that everybody can pick up and learn and like. It's not that, I only listen to country music. Well, no, everything from classic all the way through, there's something in every bit of the music that you can learn and something that you can appreciate.
I agree.
Awesome. Yeah, well,
so you know, we have guys at work that listen to, you know, the hip hop. They listen to reggae and everything else, and I find something good in every bit of it. And I'm 63 years old, so you know, if I can listen and understand, you know, it's music is a universal language, no matter what style it is. You know, and there's something there for everybody.
I agree with you.
Very, very true. Very true.
You know, the funny part about it is that a musician isn't necessarily pigeonholed in being just a metal a musician or a rock musician or a classical or a jazz. The more time as a musician that you spend in learning the instrument and the more depth that your talent goes in being able to play that instrument, you can play anything.
Sure.
You know, and that's the funny part about the musician side of this industry, because, you know, Pharrell, to me, yes, he could do a song for Robin Thicke. He could do a song for Daft Punk. He could say, Niles Rogers, that guitar player. It's only one. He's got his own style. So
right.
To bring him in a production, that's a musician, because he's looked at so many genres and so many different styles. You know, I remember there was a time that I could listen to an album that came out and I could say, you know, that's Philip Upchurch.
Sure.
On guitar. Because he had a style and a sweetness about him that he was that distinctive, even though you didn't read the back of the album, it was like, oh, yeah. It was his developed talent and his style that you could pick out. You know,
yeah,
and so
exactly.
When we start to talk about this industry and what have you and sampling and what have you, you can get a lot of cooperation from the individuals that made a lot of the songs that I've got albums of by contacting either their agent or the label or that artist.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
They want to still be relevant. They're still great, you know, and to pay for that right. You know, I always wanted to play with the heavies, the Marcus Millers, the Philip Upchurch, you know, the George Dukes, you know.
George was the best.
Oh yeah, and a lot of them have passed away, and you know, you don't get the chance, but now you can buy certain things
right.
That
we
can
just
bring
lost
into your
George.
Composition.
Yeah, we just lost George. We lost George about, 6 months ago. And, you know, I think back on a lot of the stuff that he did, you know, was just, you know, phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he did some work with some pretty heavy musicians. And he always said that his, you know, when he was working with Zappa, that was some of the best music that he laid down.
Oh,
and, you know, George was, you know, he was, him and Billy Preston both. You know, Preston was another, you know, and then if you look back into my era, there was a great pianist, Teddy Wilson.
All right.
And Teddy played with Benny Goodman.
Okay.
And if you ever listen to any of the old swing and stuff and listen to Teddy playing, he puts a bottom in that won't quit. I mean, it's not just, you know, like, you know, a couple of notes here and there. I mean, he lays it out.
You took us all the way back, but does anybody remember Wes Montgomery?
Absolutely.
I have to say something. I just don't want the topic to get off topic because I really need to hit some points here. You guys,
we can have
a show on the memory of all these guys. That's great.
Yeah.
But I really want to hit some points because this is very important as far as this topic is concerned. And as far as interpolation versus sampling, do you still have to get a clearance from the publisher, the writer, or master clearance? Ed, I know you've been in this business for a long time. I'm just letting you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
Ed done played with some of the greatest guys in this business. And he's done a lot of stuff, too. So I'm going to get out from all you guys. And I'm going to start off with Glenn, and I'm going to go down across the deck. Glenn, do you have to get a clearance on it? I'm sorry, guys, to interrupt that, y'all flow, but it's about this topic tonight, and I just didn't want to get too far off topic. Okay? So,
sure.
What's your thoughts?
The industry has made a statement that if you sample their music and you don't clear it, they're going to come after you. I mean, it's really just that simple.
How about interpolation, though?
Well,
ASCAP.
Well, see, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and those guys, it's really not their issue. Their issue only comes in if it is a cover of an original work.
Yeah.
Sampling is a whole nother part of the industry because when people sample, usually they're messing with somebody's master recording. And the labels own the master recording. When you buy a CD out of a store, the label that produced that product and manufactured that product, that's their master. That's a derivative of their master. So when you're dealing with a cover tune, well, that's a whole nother thing. You go to Harry Fox, you get a mechanical right, you record the cover tune, no problem. But when you're dealing with a sample, that is a whole nother
subject altogether. Now this is the question that I'm asking. Let me get a little bit more specific with it, more clear with it.
Damn.
If I play that note, if I play the song, which I can't play, guys, but if let's say one of you guys play it, and you play in the music, and you play the melody of a sound with a change of a note in the sound, but you're physically playing it with your fingers, or you physically come up with the beat, the drum beat, you're doing it yourself. Is there a licensing fee that you have to pay to use a similar sound from an original?
A similar sound or a melody?
The melody. Let's say the melody, but it had the structure of a hit song, and it had the same melody that was there. But the only thing is, you bend the note.
You're a thief. It's simple. It's very simple. You're a thief.
Okay, you're a thief.
Well, no,
what he's saying is.
You have to play so many bars of someone's song for them to come after you. Like, if you was to play it like somebody's melody, like one bar, they can't come after you. But if you was to play it repetitiously, then they can come after you. But if you was to play somebody's line and then switch it on the next one and switch it and come back and play that line, there's nothing they can do to you.
But I've been in today forever.
Oh, well, he's mixing a lot of issues into one. Melodies are copywritten. Sounds aren't copywritten. Melodies are copywritten. So you need to understand that there is a difference. That's why when you fill out a copyright form, well, there's a place for work made for hire. There's place for a person who was an arranger,
then there's the writer. So it's you can't take it and lump it all together, and that's why they break it down that way, because they want to know who contributed what to the overall work.
Well, he's trying to find out how it's so many bars has to be played that constitutes that you can play somebody else's song. Is what has
Real
to happen.
Fox, where did you get that as in document? So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a person who reads.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear.
But that's something that I know. I mean, I understand copyright. I mean, you have to. I mean, when you first come into this industry and learning copyright and what it means, you start reading like you said you read. To infringe upon someone, it has to be so many bars played. That's like if you used to go to court and you say, well, I made this song first. They're going to tell you to play so much of the song that you made. They want to hear what you did. You can't just come in there and play one bar and say, well, this all I had. That constitutes nothing. It does not constitute a song. It has to go so many bars to constitute a song.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but I need to inject this so the listeners will understand. That's true to an extent. But let me tell you what happens when you get in front of a judge and or a jury. It's going to come down to who used that sound in commerce first. It's going to come down to a lot of things. It's not like, okay, I played one chord the same and I took your music. Well, if you look at the Robin Thicke record, well, Marvin Gaye's family never did claim that they took his record. They claimed that they made a record that was too close to the original. And, you know, Robin Thicke settled and paid those folks, right?
But it's a reason why, but then when you listen at that record, what do you hear? You hear Marvin Gaye. It's like, that's why I thought it was a sample. That means that it was too close. That means you could sue them.
Then you're speaking to my point. Sometimes, like when Poetic was asking about different chord structures and changing notes, well, you can change all the notes you want to, but if you take that song in front of a judge and or jury and that song is deemed to be too close to the original work, you're going to lose. They're going to find that you infringed.
Yeah, but let's just say, hypothetically speaking,
am I right, Raw Dog?
Yes, and that's why I always say it has to be twisted. You see, I know what you're saying, Glenn, and you're right. And Real, you're also right. But what the problem is this. Okay, you're not going to take the sample from the production from somebody else. You're going to simulate, but you're not going to play the chords or anything from that original melody, and you're only going to play a portion of something in the melody. See, so, and yes, that is acceptable if a musician is doing his play, not the same key, not the same instruments, not the same beat, 90 beats per minute, you know, as the original. But he has created through a thought that was given to him by something he heard as he was walking down the street. You see, the thing
right.
about it is if it's played against the original, they're not the same. But they're similar. But there's 12
okay,
notes.
Okay, well, let me ask you.
So they're all
what was your name
similar.
Again, Raw Dog?
Yeah.
Your name, Raw Dog, right? Okay, let me ask you a question now. Listen. Not to change the subject, but it's the same thing. Okay, let's take the movie Terminator and the movie The Matrix, correct?
Okay.
Those two movies. Well, those two movies were stolen from a lady that had created those movies earlier on, and she wound up winning a lawsuit. A lot of people don't even know about that she won a lawsuit because those two movies was her idea. They just did it in a twisted way, like you were saying. But the judge ruled in her favor because they were too close to her movie. Both of those movies was basically the same movie as she had. And she sued both people and won both of the lawsuits.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
The Terminator and The Matrix.
Can I ask you a question? Did she submit the scripts to these people?
She submitted the scripts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how they got caught up. But if you go in front of the court, I don't know what these other people are talking about. I hear you.
And this is what I want to know. And of course, guys, at every half hour, I'm going to take a little short break for a second because this is the format of the program. But this is what I want to know, and I want to say this. She probably submitted the script, correct? But regardless if she didn't submit the script, and someone in that body of team got it and ran with it and gave that idea out, and they end up taking the idea, but it was proven in court. If there's a situation where you can be involved, where it might be a catch-22 situation, which this is when you playing somebody else's music, it can be catch-22. You might end up in court.
Okay. Okay.
Before I come back, when we come back, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about the advantages and disadvantages of the of sampling music. And I love it when we come across a good topic and everybody's involved giving out dynamic information. Just to let you guys know, we are not attorneys. If you need legal advice, seek out an attorney for that. We're here to help you, to help support you and your music, to help you promote it and get it off to a variety of platforms that will help you support and promote it. Also, the advice we give you is to help you protect it and enhance it. But again, we're not attorneys. Make sure you seek out legal advice for that purpose. Go to www.hiphopnational.com. We are here as a life and body to help get your music out there to other people who we're connected to in this industry. In fact, Glenn on the phone tonight also have a radio program that your music can be played on. So definitely upload it here, www.hiphopnational.com. We'd like to spread it out to the masses. All right, we're back, and I wanted to ask you guys this. From what I understand, that penalty for sampling a song can be $150,000 minimum. Is that true or false? And the other question is, the more valuable the song is, the more valuable the copyright is, the more the owner could charge.
It's one of the questions that I've pondered, and I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm going to go across the board. I hadn't heard from you, Ed. Ed, are you familiar with the copyright laws of it?
Well, back 30 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, the copyright laws were a lot different. Nowadays, and, you know, I hate to be this way, but in the music business, you know, the producers and, you know, and everybody, it seems to me that there's a lot more greed in it than there used to be. Chuck Berry said it the best. He said, I'd cut a record, they'd sell the record, I'd wind up with 2 cents on the record. What happened to the other 47 cents? You know, so I really think that, you know, there's a lot of greed in this business. And, you know, just because somebody owns a song, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, it's like you were talking earlier about, well, that was a number one hit. You stole a little piece of it, and this and that, so I need $150,000, $250,000, $300,000, you know. And then the next thing you know is, you know, you're sitting in court, you know, because this little piece of music, you know, that you sampled. And to me, I just don't think it's right. I think that when a person records a song, even though they own the song, the royalties and the rights to it, that it should be part of public domain to some extent.
Madam, she sold 800,000 the first day.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jaden.
Were you saying something?
Right now?
No, it sounded like Glenn was saying something. I wasn't sure.
Oh.
Because I got mic open.
I wasn't saying anything. But I can.
Okay.
There is a lot of greed in this industry, and there always have been, and there always will be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, this business is like any other business; it's supply and demand. And if a guy has a copyright, say like a James Brown record, well, James Brown's catalog is hot right now. Okay. And
sure.
if you sample his music now, yeah, it's going to cost you more than it would cost you if you were to sample, say, a Little Richard record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, the hotter the catalog, the more the sample is going to cost you.
What was your name? Poetic, host. Poetic,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. When you said something about if you sample someone's record, does a penalty, how does the penalty work? Well, to my knowledge, if you take a record and sample it and put it out, let's just happen, you know, say you have a hit, a big hit, right? And you didn't get permission,
mm-hmm.
correct? Well, now yeah. you're at bay for them to ask you for whatever they want because you didn't make a deal up front. They might ask you for 90% of the money that you made. It's because now you're going to get sued, so they can ask for 90% of the money that you made because you didn't make no type of deal or no type of arrangements on that sample. So, you know, it varies how it turns out. You can't just come in and say, now, well, we'll give you 10%. It's not going to work like that. Now you at bay. You're the one going to get sued.
And that brings me to my next question then. Could a song be cleared after the fact? I'm just saying before it get to the level. Let's say you got the knowledge of it now, but you haven't really sold any records, but you've already released this record. Could it be cleared after the fact that you've already
sampled
it?
Well, the record is going to get seized
and released it.
The record is going to get seized. Once the record, I had worked on a record here that had I forget, it was maybe a cameo or something, but they didn't clear it. Well, it got pulled until they to clear it, and then they couldn't clear it. They made the radio
right.
stop playing and everything. Yeah, that's what happened to that. But as far as getting sued, maybe Glenn can answer that question, because to my knowledge, the tag team record, Womp There It Is, which was a big record. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that. To my knowledge, I think they got sued after the fact because there was a lot of samples in that record. Am I correct, man?
Well, to answer Poetic's question, yeah, their deal struck all the time after the record pops. If a major record company knows that an independent doesn't have anything of value, such as a deep catalog or, you know, millions of dollars in their bank account, then they'll still work out a deal, but that deal is going to be a bigger percentage because you didn't go to them up front. But if, see, one thing that these major record companies understand is that they don't make records. They acquire records. And if you got a record that's popping, they're going to look for a way to make money. Now, if something can be worked out, then they'll work it out with you. But it's going to be in that, by their terms, because you didn't come to them up front. But with the Womp There It Is record, the problem with that record is that we thought we cleared all of the samples. But there were bit samples in the record that we were unaware of. And we found out that when you go to court now on a sampling issue, well, they bring in a machine. They bring in a computerized machine that will detect all of the samples in that record. And the artist tag team, you know, they told us, okay, well, they showed us paperwork for this sample being cleared and that sample being cleared. But the problem was they had bit samples in the record that they thought they could get away with. So it's like I was saying to the young artists and the young producers out there, man, if you really believe in a record and you put a sample in it and you deem that record to be a moneymaker, go get it cleared. Period.
Yep, because if there's any money to be made, the greed is going to get it.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody's in agreement right there.
I got a question.
The greed is going to get it.
Boom, boom. Yep. Yeah,
this goes back to the old Dick Clark days when he held back the original people that did the twist, and he brought Chubby Checker in.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it out before the original people that came up with that could even be heard.
Right. The Beatles almost got, the Beatles did get sued for sampling and using some music that they weren't supposed to use. They didn't get it cleared. And they didn't get permission, and that was on the record that they did called My Sweet Lord. It cost them almost $2 million back in the 60s. So, you know, a big hit song can cost you more.
That's true. That's very true.
That's true. That's very true.
But now, you know what? There's where the business side has to come in. You know, this is, as Glenn has said before on other shows, this is the music business, the business of music. Whichever way you want to say it, the paperwork and all the necessary things, that clearances and all of those things have to be done. You can't miss a step because that's the step that could catch you up in a situation of losing. You know, and I appreciate Glenn because I've learned a lot from Glenn.
Like I said, the music industry has really changed since, I stopped playing in 97. I've got, arthritis real bad in my arms and stuff, but I quit playing in 97, and it was still the pack of greed that, got everybody. It's like, nowadays you can write a song and you can just really put something together and you go, there's just a little hole right here but I need something to fill that hole in the song. So you take a cut and you put it in there. And then, you know, it's like, bam, boy, that's just absolutely perfect. And you don't do anything about it. Then the next thing you know is you've worked your, you know, your, you've put your blood, your sweat, your tears, and everything else into this song or into a CD. And one little spot, and you basically can wind up losing everything. And there you are with nothing.
True. Yep. That's true. That's true. And, you know, I would like to say this to the young listeners, and that's who basically I speak to when I come on the show, because I understand that they don't understand. And it's just like this gentleman is saying, you know, about the greed, he's just using a nice word for it.
Yeah, I am.
And we appreciate that, but, you know, you need to understand, like Raw Dog said, that this is an industry, and there are a lot of different jobs inside of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And if hip hop is your genre, and that's what you say you love and you follow and that you want to be, you need to understand that all of those samples that you attempt to use, and in some cases use, come from the people that came before you. Hip-hop could never have survived without great musicians making great records. So when you sit down in your studio and you start to create a work that has a piece of someone else's work in it, you should really understand what that means. That
Oh, yeah.
Means that your genre of music was born from your forefathers and four producers and four singers and four horn players, all of these musicians that came before you, and you owe them respect.
This
and
is
once
correct.
Once you put that into the music and you start to understand what that is, you'll find success. Because a hit record, what I found about a hit record is you can take every instrument out of it and just leave the vocals. And if the melody is in the vocals, you still got a hit record.
Yep.
And vice versa.
True.
Yep, that's
right,
it.
Guys, we got Quinn who just raised his hand. Quinn, you got a statement or question for these gentlemen?
I mean, hey, man. I'm enjoying the show, man. I'm enjoying the show. I love it. But we're talking about samples. Now, I've been around, and I've been listening to a lot of people that sample some music. You know what I'm saying? I even sample. I am an artist myself, and I even sample some music. You know what I'm saying? But now, everything can't be sampled, because a lot of people themselves for some music and you know, it didn't come out too good, you know what I'm saying? So it's certain music, it's certain people music that me personally that I would like to sample, you know what I'm saying? And being a musician, I never been a musician. My brother is a musician. But I don't know, you know, I do know what it takes to be a musician. You know what I'm saying? In order to be that musician, you gotta, you know, and you're gonna sample some music, you gotta know how to sample it. And also, man, you gotta be strong, man, you gotta be a strong musician. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be a good creator. And sometimes, man, I would say it's not good to sample music, but so at a certain point it is, because it's some music out there that I would like to sample. But 9 times out of 10, try to create something that you own, something that you can give. You know what I mean? That's what I do when I'm in the studio recording. I give it the best You know what I'm saying? I try not to create, you know, to get sample what nobody else have, you know. I try to, you know, create it something that I have, you know, and you sampling music and you're a musician, you got to learn how to, you know, you got to learn how to play the instruments. And you all got to learn how to play those instruments, and you got to know what what to put in there and what to put in. Because a lot of artists out there don't sample a lot of people's music, and it didn't come out right. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if you're going to sample, I say, the Temptations, Papa was a Rolling Stone, you want to sample that, you know, you got to know how to sample, man. You should, and you sample it, you got to sample it right.
There is an
I mean,
art to
you
it.
you know, you got to, man, because a lot of artists is out there, man, that they sample a lot of people's music, but it didn't come out right. It didn't come out like they had sampled it, but how they did it. But you know, you want to do it better than they did.
All right, everybody wants to
do whatever they do are better than everybody else, you know?
Well, that's true. That's definitely true. You know, but the thing about it is there, it takes time to learn how to sample something and put it together so that you have at least a production that is going to be pleasant. But if you're mm-hmm. not... you can sell it or use it without the permission. I kind of understand what he's saying because, like I say, when you get the music programs and what have you, and if you're not a musician, you know, that's the, what you go to is taking a sampling, you know, a portion of a song and looping it, and then, you know, you're chopping it and you're using that song within itself. You haven't learned
that. That's just like...
But see,
I'm
the catch
sorry
is...
about that.
The things you need to learn are like, you know, there are different chord changes and how does the instrumentation fit on the next bar and what have you and the timing of the beat and all of that. And, you know, all those things, it's a learning process to become skilled at being able to
yeah.
do something like that. You know, and I can understand it, but remember that there's no revenue without the business side of it. So, you know, as someone learning their equipment and the different techniques and what have you, I know what he's saying, you know. But they can't make money off of that. They can't blow up without doing the business side of it.
Yep, exactly.
You know, they might try to peddle it in the neighborhood, but let me say, let's just like Glenn said, if it becomes that the fact of it is then you're going to be spotlighted by the industry, and the industry is going to protect the other artists that you took it from. That's if you don't have your business, everything in line, that you had the permissions to use that sample. So, you know, creativity is one thing. Making money, revenue off of that product, that's another side of it. You know, and I think most people that get into trying to produce something, that's their first step. They're doing that sampling and looping and taking from something that's already been done. Because, you know, let's put it like this, to have a studio that you can create anything in, you know, unless you have big pockets, you know, you're going to start off in different stages of being able to produce something musical. And so,
right.
You know, you realize after time, I need a synthesizer, I need this, I need that, I need this. And that's the way it should progress. You know, don't stop
hey,
it just
I can tell you like this, that set me up for the next question just before we come back from the break. I wanted, because it seems like we're getting ready to go into overtime. So I wanted to definitely highlight and let Ron know. Welcome to Hip Hop National. Ron, we're going to go to a quick break, and then when we come back, here's the question I want you guys to chew on, everybody, okay? The question is, do you think hip-hop is transitioning? Looking at
looking at what we saw the other day, I just checked out the Grammys and how the Grammys, how the performance was performing with the full-fledged bands and all of this stuff. This has been coming up pretty much in as a topic of discussion lately with me, and I just want to hear you guys' thoughts, too, when we come back. Mm-hmm. Is you think sampling is going to continue to play a major role in it, or is it going to eventually take back seat, or is it just going to be a mix of a joint venture of all the sounds, all kinds of stuff that brings it to a musical piece, a musical work? We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National. Y'all stay with us.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call. Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
I swear technology sometimes gives you an issue, but that's okay, we get through it. Ron, you had just joined us. I want to go ahead and I'm going to propose the question to you. Up next after that, we're going to go to Ed, and we're going to go to Raw Dog, and then we're going to go to Glenn and get some final thoughts on that topic. I want to know, do you guys think Trent, looking at the evidence of, you know, the Grammys, if you had a chance to look at it, a lot of the musical works is even for the rappers, are transitioning to, like, live bands behind them. What's your thoughts, Ron?
Well, personally, I think that is awesome when, you know, when a rapper can get up and they can perform with a live band, even, like, you know, right off the top, wherein, like, they'll come in with one, you know, with one song and they're playing a piece, and they can come in with it, you know, and just jump on there, and just that's the sign of a true hip-hop artist. When it comes down to the sampling aspect of it, hip-hop was pretty much founded on samples. I can't think of one really hit hip-hop song from, I say, the 80s and the 90s, you know, till now, that was really, like, just an original piece that people wasn't all over. You know what I'm saying? It's the hip-hop music with the blend of what, you know, what people remember and can reflect back on. And, you know, they hear the piece and they say, oh, yeah, you know, Biggie Smalls, I remember that song, you know, I Put a Spell on You. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will go on YouTube nowadays and, like, you know, look at the stuff that was used in, you know, compiling that song. I think that sampling can be oversampled if you put too much of a song in there. If you just take a part of it to where it's like, you know, it's like a, you know, a couple of notes just in that song enough to make that song, you know, current again, that's one thing. But if you're oversampling in hip-hop anyway, because, you know, pop and R&B, you really don't want to do anything sampling on pop and R&B, you know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that you want to definitely have, like, you know, some original material behind that. Although I must admit to loving Blurred Lines because of the fact it brought back, you know, the feel of Marvin Gaye. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we can all reflect to that, and it made you feel good to hear that, you know, that music, you know, being current again, and then to, you know, to modern music. So there's such a thing as, you know, as enjoying samples, and there's such a thing as overdoing samples. You know, so it's just a matter of, yeah, I like the idea of hip-hop artists performing to live music because that's hot to me, you know. But when you talk about, you know, talk about rapping the music, it's like any kind of music because if you're just, you know, if you're a one-dimensional artist, I think that if you can rap to a rock beat or if you can do a rap to like a country western beat, that's saying a lot because of the fact that, like, you know, you can really get on there and rock a mic and people can really respect you for that. Hip-hop is in such a disarray. It's really not even funny.
Okay. Ed, did you get a chance to look at the Grammys?
I could jump on with that. That's awesome.
All right.
I couldn't hear you out.
Did you get a chance to look at the observe the Grammys?
No, not yet. But you know, it's like was it Glenn that was just speaking or Doug?
That was Ron.
No, that was Ron.
Ron.
Ron Petaway.
Ron. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with him. You know, with a rapper that can sit down with a full band and do his, you know, his music and everything, you know, that's wonderful. You know, that's a great thing. And it you know, I'd like to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other parts about it is, you know, for the industry to grow, you know, everybody's going to have to, you know, just really pull together and work it out. You know, it's like some people, you know, we're going to go back to the greed and, you know, everything else that's involved. And, you know, if everybody would, you know, sit down and discuss it, like, well, I'm going to sample a little of your music, you know, is that okay? Or are you going to charge me both arms and one of my legs,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to use this? And they shouldn't do that. You know, they should, you know, say, okay, you know, we'll see where it goes. If it becomes a hit or something like that, yeah, we'll take a little piece of it, you know. We won't take a whole lot. You know, we're not going to take 50% or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if everybody would sit down and work together on it, I think it has a real chance to grow.
Definitely. There's so much stuff from the past that I would like to hear, you know, rappers, you know, writing verses to now. Like, you know, I'm doing some A&R work for a label now, and it's just, you know, there's so much, you know, it's just, rap is just so convoluted now. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
mm-hmm.
you think about it in terms of who's doing what in the industry, in terms of, like, you know, the most popular thing going on in music right now is who's got beef with who, and that's horrible. You want to really hear, like, talent and people getting out there. I have to thank the brother Kendrick Lamar for coming out there and putting people on notice. You know what I'm saying? You can't just
mm-hmm.
put out BS and expect people are going to just jump all over it because of the fact it's playing on the radio all day long.
Right.
Yeah, but his live performance was over the top in the Grammys.
Mm.
It was
definitely, you know, sometimes you got to be bigger than life. Look at Kanye. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, people do stuff that, you know, they go above and beyond for the sake of, you know, of really, like, you know, drawing attention to themselves. So
right.
It's like, you know, in most cases, you know, you can appreciate it. Some people are like, yeah, that's just a bit much, you know?
Well, I guess what we're saying is originality is always going to come to the top,
definitely.
Whereas the copycats are just kind of flooding the industry trying to get through the door, and the industry is looking for that original dynamic entertainer that's different.
Can I just add one thing to what you just said, though? The
sure.
sad part about it is the music buying you know, demographic, they really are sheep because of the fact that they're looking for something that sounds similar to what they just heard. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
like, you know, if another song comes out that has any similarity to that song is a guaranteed hit just based on the strength of that other song that was out before it. And that's been a proven ingredient throughout time. You know what I'm saying? People can relate to something that they heard. So if there's a song that's out, let's say, for instance, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, their song Thrift Shop came out. If another song would have came out similar to that by another artist, people would have jumped all over it just for the sake of how good they felt and how, you know, how major Thrift Shop was. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And
so,
I'm from that state, so I
wrong.
Know what
that's,
you mean.
That's the art behind sampling. The art behind
mm-hmm.
sampling is reviving the old archives and bringing it
mm-hmm.
back to the forefront, giving it life again so it
mm-hmm.
can and recreating the buzz behind what was there. And ultimately, the publisher,
mm-hmm.
the writer benefits from that new publicity when their song
mm-hmm.
was on the shelf. But some
exactly.
will live by and say,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be sampled, just like I think one of you guys mentioned earlier, like, friend,
mm-hmm.
I think it was you, Glenn, that there's certain things that you can't sample.
Mm-hmm.
They,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Yep.
It's
don't tolerate it.
But
think about it like this, too, though. it's that way with all the arts, because in fact there's no originality. So you have RoboCop coming out, you have Friday the 13th being reinvented. I mean, they're doing all these things because they're running out of original ideas. So you'll have to do some sampling, because of the fact these producers just aren't able to come up with original ideas on their own. I challenge these producers nowadays to come up with an original track that doesn't, you know, everything's going to put your mind on something else. I mean, you hear something, or you write something that'll be created based on something that you've heard before. And we're going back as far as, you know, Bach and Beethoven. They've heard something before that put them in mind of that piece. It just didn't come to them off the top of their head and say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Unless they really do just go back to basics and create samples like the producers that I know and love. You know what I'm saying? Where they'll start just making a beat, where they'll put a drum, you know, a drum beat down based on the tempo of the song, and then they start adding, you know, different instruments to it to make it into an original track. And it's nothing, it's not like anything you've heard before, because it's something that just created off the top of their head.
Wait, do you notice the similarities between Macklemore's type of lyrics and Sir Mix-a-Lot's?
Listen, everything old is new again. That's exactly
where we are.
That,
the ironic thing is that when I listen to Sir Mix-a-Lot and the way it was somewhat nonsensical, but everyone could relate to whether they liked Big Butts or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Macklemore, he did it in a way that everybody could relate to it, but they were lighthearted songs.
Uh-huh.
You know, but they had a reality to them. And, you know, it seems like from the Pacific Northwest that formula was the breakthrough when no one else was thinking in that lighthearted direction, you know?
Exactly.
And so they came through, and both of them both got Grammys in the same genre, different eras, but it's the point that the difference, ever so often, the difference walks through and is spotlighted because it is so different.
Hmm.
Right,
exactly.
I'm going to ask Glenn, what's your thoughts, man? Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't heard from you.
Lighthearted type of material now because of the fact that with the...
Hold on, Ron. I want to hear from Glenn real quick. On that question. Go ahead.
I can't say honestly, in my opinion, that hip hop is evolving in the direction that it should.
Right.
However, it is a breath of fresh air to see a Kendrick Lamar be able to be himself, come to the industry, do what he does on record, then gets on a stage that large, prove that he's for real, not trying to mimic anyone or sound like anyone, showing that hip-hop is a genre of music like all other genres of music, and you can mix it and match it in any way that you are gifted enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta agree with you on that one for sure.
I'm a producer as well as an executive, and it has been disheartening for me over these last past 10 or 15 years at the quality of records that so-called hip-hop artists have been releasing into the marketplace. I mean, it's really terrible. I've seen guys, I've visited every major market in these United States, and I can tell you, I've seen kids out on the corner in Brooklyn that were 100 times better than these artists that hip hop is supporting right now.
Well, you know what, though, the bad part about it is they don't have all the tools to get them to that level wherein they can actually make a dent and try and, you know, bring their music to the forefront, so that some of these artists that are out now that are basically slacking, or I should say lamping, because they're just basically sitting back and just putting out whatever, and the labels are committed to putting out something on them, so quite naturally it's going to hit the airwaves. But these dudes do have the talent, they don't have the means, they don't have the wherewithal to get their music, you know, into the hands of people who can definitely guide them in their careers and get them where they need to be, so we can get some of this new talent that's just sitting around, you know, trying to make it, you know, hand-to-hand sales on Fulton Street in Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do know what you mean, but I think that the young artists need to understand this. First of all, people at the labels can't hear hip hop anyway. They never could, and they never will be able to.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been able to hear it. What we have to do is, as creative people, understand that whatever you create from your soul and from your heart
mm-hmm.
is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're doing
else
now,
to hear it.
Yeah, we're trying to make records that sound like the last record. And this is why Kendrick Lamar bust into this industry with the momentum that he did, because
mm-hmm.
he said, to hell with what y'all have been listening to. This
mm-hmm.
is what I got for you. And that in itself is a part of hip-hop.
Exactly.
It's anti-establishment.
Innovative.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
it's innovative. And it's, yeah. So we... You know, these young artists need to understand, and these young producers that, and even these young wannabe executives and these guys that's running their own independent labels,
mm-hmm.
they have to understand that if they're going to work inside of the hip-hop genre of this music industry, that there is a certain attitude that you must bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
When if you go up in Warner or any of these major labels, and you're sitting there and you're just being quiet and letting these people strike the kind of deals they say they want, then guess
uh-huh.
what? That's your fault.
Huh.
Take that same swagger that you got out of your neighborhood into corporate America and go do what you know how to do.
Huh.
This is how Jay-Z built himself and made himself
uh-huh.
a brand.
Huh.
This is how Dame Dash went in with nothing and came out a legitimate millionaire.
Uh-huh.
Because he took what was in his heart and soul, and he took it to corporate America and say, take it like it is or don't take it.
Hmm. Well,
and until
on the
we get back to that, we're not going to make money in this business.
Unfortunately. But on a note totally separate note, probably for another show, will be, you know, the importance of these artists also realizing that if you're sitting around waiting for a deal with a major record label, you might as well just go get you a job and forget about doing music, because of the fact that the
Absolutely.
Record labels are not signing anybody. And, you know, Macklemore is a classic case in point of how you can make it as an independent artist. Who would have thought that independent would have been at the Grammys and, you know, the Golden Globes and getting all these, you know, getting, not the Golden Globes, I'm sorry, at the Grammys and the what was the other one, the big one? You know what I'm saying? These events and making all, you know, getting all this fanfare and all the, you know, all, you know, getting, you know, gaining all these awards and notoriety, and your music is playing on every radio station, pop, hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, who would have thought that? But people need to realize the importance of you know, of the independent dollar, because of the fact that, you know, the people who really want to hear and buy your music are people who are basically going to make or break you, and you don't have to be signed to a label. The internet is powerful. That's why these labels are holding on top of themselves. Because they can't control the internet.
Well, we couldn't be having this discussion on this topic tonight if it wasn't for technology and the internet.
Exactly.
See, here,
exactly.
We're all on this radio show, and we're feeding off of each other, and we're
mm-hmm.
we're giving each other knowledge and ideals, and we're able to go tomorrow and say, well, wow, you know, that guy on the show last night, he told me that I should give this a try. And actually go and try it. Don't just say
exactly.
he told me that I should try this. Actually go out and try it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
and you know, to me, Kendrick Lamar is a godsend, because these young people need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see that. Because there's nothing wrong with being yourself.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I praise an artist that can do that, because of the fact that that's what people want to see. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear and see you, not something that's factory made into what, you know, labels, you know, wet dream of what an artist is supposed to be. You come out there as yourself, and that's who they're basically going to buy into. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like, you can really, you can.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to shut up.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, and I saw the Jackson 5 on the Ed Sullivan Show, their very first performance.
You just dated yourself,
but go ahead. No adult had to tell me what Michael Jackson was and would become.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw it for myself. I knew it was different. I knew that he was greatness.
Mm.
True.
And the
I was
next
watching
day
that too, because
school,
I knew all the women in my house were screaming. They were screaming. It's on Michael Jackson's Ed Sullivan Show, and they were screaming. I was like, what's all the screaming about? So I went to the TV and I saw these brothers on, you know, on television, you know, and like, not only were people in my house screaming, but it seemed like everybody in my building and in my neighborhood was screaming over these five boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't, when you, you, no one has to tell you when you're witnessing greatness.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It
and
stands
if,
out.
If these producers and young artists today would really look in the mirror and say, I want to be great, rather than I want to be okay, or I want a new watch, or I need some new rims. See, they want the prize, but they don't want to put the work in.
Exactly. I commend you on that, because I was going to say the same exact thing.
And I
people
can tell you like
artists,
this, in this entertainment
to
field,
come to them.
In this entertainment field, it is work. If you don't put in the work, you're not going to get the reward.
And it's not an overnight work. It is a you start at a younger age, and you may not achieve being the star, but you're going to shine. You know, but it takes time. You know, I remember Michael Jackson. I can remember him singing Ben. And, you know, it all of that, there was something that he was creating and a gift. I got to say that. He had a gift to be an entertainer, you know, and he loved the spotlight.
Sure enough.
You know, and I can remember just as a musician, I'd be one way before I'd hit stage, and when the spotlight came on, there's this other character that comes out that
right.
you don't even know you possess, but the people see it. And it's, you know, everybody doesn't possess that. Everybody doesn't possess that. And, you
exactly.
know, it's what a shame, but then those that do and need that originality and they need to understand the work behind the scenes, honing their craft, like a Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
You see what I'm saying? There was only one Sammy.
Oh,
see,
my
when
God.
You start to talk about people, their talent, and that spotlight. God only gave a few that ability, you know.
Amen.
And
amen.
All I can say is that there are those out there, but they have
it's
to realize
done.
The work.
Yeah, I'd like to say one thing before you brothers close for the evening, and I, if I don't say this, I'll be remiss. These artists today have to know that they have to open a book. It's important. It's imperative. You know what I'm saying? Because if you just think that it's all about just going in the studio or jumping on the stage and, you know, then you're going to get a deal or whatever, then you're sadly mistaken. You need to get yourself a job and leave music alone. You have to crack these books open. If you can't get the book in the library, which everybody should be able to, open the internet. If you want to, you know, lamp it on Facebook and trying to pick up girls, you know, and Twitter and all this other stuff, you have time to open up the internet and go in there and really do yourself a service and learn about what this industry and what this business is all about. Because if not, you're just basically wasting your time.
So you're
you know,
saying,
we
Ron,
need you out
that
there.
You're saying instead of me spending my time in here trying to get these hot babes, I need to be in there doing the work.
That's
right.
The babes aren't even
working.
A thought.
That's right.
The babes aren't even a thought if
exactly.
you're rich.
Oh, man. I think I'm doing the wrong thing here, guys.
You've been leaving girls alone. They'll be, believe me, they'll be there and they'll be a better, they'll be
I'm just joking.
I would say a better
joking.
Class of them. I know what you're saying. I know. I would say a better class of females, but you definitely find, you know, you definitely find your fair share of them once you get on. You put in the hard work now, and by the time all is said and done, and you're where you need to be in this business, believe me, they'll be tracking you down, and you'll have to be fighting them off with a stick. You know
exactly.
Not to mention,
you'll be visiting
if you
the
can't
clinic.
Read today, I'm not trying to be funny. If you can't read today, just about every subject, somebody have done a video of it, and you can sit
I'm telling
there
you,
and listen
YouTube
to the audio.
I'm telling you, YouTube is the way to go, for sure.
But
and a lot of these books out there are on
one side, but you need to read, be able to read so you can handle that contract.
Exactly.
And the business.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Oh, no. Don't be mistaken for one second. If you waste your time trying to decipher a contract, if I give you a contract and you try to figure it out yourself and then you go and sign it, you'll know what you sign yourself to, because a lot of artists don't realize the importance of knowing, you know, the value of not what's in the contract, that can really kill you, but what's not in that contract that can really kill you, you know, your girl, your kids, your parents, everybody. You know what I'm saying? You sign yourself to some
paper. Thank you for it.
Make sure you know exactly what it is you're signing.
Yeah, but you know what? The little contracts on the way to the big contract, those can also hook you up wrong.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But on the note of sampling, let me just also add this, the fact that like my man was saying earlier, you know, you really spend in most of your budget by putting out a song that has a sample in it, because of the fact that by the time you finish paying off whoever you didn't get that consent from beforehand, you definitely going to be paying them at the end because they love it. You know what I'm saying? They'd rather you do the sample without asking that permission because of the fact they can charge you whatever they want to charge you at that point.
Well, when Warner Brothers told Puffy that they no longer needed his services, they made sure that he left them masters sitting over there in the corner. You know why? Because he spent so much of their money on samples that they couldn't afford to let him take his masters with him. You know, don't get me wrong. The MPC 60 made me a better music producer, okay? I can't sit here and lie. It did. But what these people need to understand, these artists and producers, is that it's just a tool. It's only a tool. You still are the person that has to put the creativity into it.
Exactly.
You only get out of it what you're able to put into it. So you can take I've seen Teddy Riley take just James Brown saying and change and EQ that in such a way that you couldn't resist it in a record.
Right.
So, you know, we need not get confused by this, guys. There's some guys in this industry that can take a sample and make you love it.
That's true.
Okay? There are some guys. Listen, Kanye West, I mean, when he first broke through, man, I said, this dude is stupid. Because this guy took Ray Charles and did something that I know, and I'm a good producer. I'm gifted. God gave it to me. There's no way I could have took that Ray Charles concept and did what he did with it. You know why? Because it came from his soul. And that's what we have to – this is not – you know, see, they got this dumbed-down effect in this industry now. And they're making these kids think that, hey, man, you ain't got to have no talent. Well, it's just not true.
I agree.
You have to go. Right now I'm on this radio show sitting in my office. Next door to me is my studio, and my son's in there working. We eat, sleep, and breathe music in this family. And until young producers understand that you can have every computer, every VST. Listen, man, it's like you said. You got to read, and they need to understand. Somebody needs to make you all understand, young people, that music is mathematics. You got to count. You got to be able to count to do great records.
Exactly.
Because if you want that sample to come in on a certain bar, you got to tell it what bar to come in.
Let
it come in 4/4 timing. You have to be able to know these things and not be guessing.
Well, you know, Glenn, I always call it the science.
Yeah.
You know, it's the science and the tool, and your how you have actually learned how to use that tool, and the science behind. Rhythm, you know, 90 beats per minute, 120 beats per minute, and, you know, and style. You know, there's so many things that these tools can do that it's wonderful era to be able to produce music because the tools are excellent, but you have to put in the time, learn them, and you have to put in the time to start to create with them, not deal with things, but to create things from sounds that you hear or something that that just won't let you go.
Well, I got to say this, guys. We about to end, the show is about to end, but I have to say this as final word. With Hip Hop National, I don't got to go to college.
It don't hurt though. It don't hurt artists. Definitely, if you can go to college, please do. But you know,
go to college.
Definitely don't hurt to go to college.
God bless you, guys. God bless you too.
All right now.
God bless.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.